Prepare for your own death and for your next incarnation by living to the fullest. Hello again, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are well today. My name is Marie. A lot has been said about the Earth and its reincarnation cycle as a prison for all its inhabitants. It may be considered a prison planet because live individuals are enclosed there in an illusory realm, and they are made to think they are isolated from the greater stellar community, and in a dichotomy. A place where it is either that humans on Earth are the center of the universe, and everything revolves around humanity, as the only place accepted to exist in the entire universe with advanced biological life, and with an advanced civilization. Or they are nothing but an inconsequential cosmic error, constantly being diminished, forced to forget their inherent greatness. And when the individuals die, they encounter what looks like a trap for their souls, where they are forced into reincarnating over and over, paying an ever-increasing karmic debt. Both aspects of Earth as a prison planet, from the point of view of people who are alive, and also of those souls in between lifetimes, are also said to be caused by archontic beings who orchestrate everything to exploit humankind for energy and manifestation power. I am not arguing against this, as I see it as quite valid, and it's difficult to deny all that, but it also depends on how we interpret things, from one or another perspective, and from the points of view of different densities. I strongly believe that there is no ultimate truth, as it will only depend on the points of view and consciousness awareness of each individual. So what matters here, talking about Earth as a prison planet, is the experience each soul is having. We must remember that each soul is a point of attention of the greater source consciousness, and being a holographic fragment of it, each person's interpretation is valid, at least from their personal point of view. So what is real, what reality at large is, depends on how each soul experiences life, and the meaning and value he or she gives to the surrounding circumstances. This means that it depends on each one of us to decide whether Earth is a prison planet or not. Yet, countless people who have had a near-death experience report that they come back understanding that life on Earth is just a learning game, and we shouldn't take anything there too seriously, because once in the afterlife, it all suddenly makes sense, and even terrible things that occur in life are seen with, and from a much more expanded points of view and interpretations, which remove all the evil drama around such happenings. Suffering and hardship when alive are seen and interpreted as simple learning experiences once in the afterlife, and as it is said by many researchers into near-death experiences, souls on the other side cherish having hard life experiences over peaceful ones, as they cause the soul to greatly advance in its overall consciousness and awareness, while the peaceful ones cause the soul to comfortably stagnate in its current level. But what cannot be denied is that while someone is alive, his or her reality is what counts, that is, the reality of that person, and imposing the narrative that once on the other side, everything will be worthwhile and will also make sense, is gaslighting the individual. It is a justification to make each soul suffer as much as possible, for energetic exploitation or for whatever, and always with the promise of a great reward in the afterlife, in heaven, Valhalla, or however you want to call it. Be it that this consciousness expansion, change in meaning and interpretation of things experienced while alive, and how that changes when in the afterlife is true or not, it sounds to me awfully like the same old religious lies and manipulation, all for population control. Some of us do remember many things from the afterlife, some people more than others, and although this interpretation I just explained is backed by many cases, for example in the works of Dolores Cannon, as a reference, Each individual does have its unique interpretation of how specific events and things in their lives are seen when alive and when in the afterlife. But how can we escape all this? That is the big question. One thing that is common among countless researchers into this subject is that the heavy spiritual work must be done while alive. The way to escape the matrix on Earth, the reincarnation cycle or samsara wheel, escape any matrix, including the one in the afterlife, with all its supposed manipulations and archons, who force souls into reincarnating, is to achieve a state of mind and consciousness called Mahasamadhi, in Earth's Eastern traditions. It is the way to truly escape the illusions and the limitations which keep the soul trapped in reincarnation cycles, of truly escaping the illusions, including the control systems of the matrix, and all that causes the soul to grow attached to ego ideas, to its identity. Mahasamadhi, as in, Maha, means great all-final, and Samadhi, means absorption, into who you truly are in your most expanded infinite nature, who you truly are as a soul who belongs in the cosmos, free and limitless. It is how you become absorbed from your matrix ego persona, into your true cosmic nature, a source. Mahasamadhi is true freedom for the soul. It is said to happen only when the soul leaves the body, after it has realized that it has been a prisoner to all the illusions of being in physicality, and of having a biological body which is forced to follow matrix society rules. So the whole process of becoming, and of breaking free from the illusions of the ego, and of the matrix is for liberation, no more reincarnations, and no more falling into believing false illusions of any kind, and from the point of view of those Eastern traditions, that state is also called salvation. As they say, it is salvation from living in the illusion that has been imposed on you by someone else, with imposed rules, and imposed ways of thinking and limits to awareness. Clearly here referring to archontic controllers of Earth, live overlords too, but especially referring to those in the lower astral, although this is also an interpretation of the meaning of Mahasamadhi, I know. One of the ways to achieve this is simply by expanding your consciousness awareness in all its meaning, and in all its angles, but that may take lifetimes. But one of the things we must all know is that we must face our own death, our own mortality, and all that it means and brings. When we die, what we experience will only be, and can only be, whatever our vibration is a match to. We manifest our own heaven, and our own hell, and all in between, in our own private, and particular version of them. We create our reality which is only a reflection, of who we are and of our vibration. Reality is a mirror of our thoughts and emotions, as I always say. This is why we must be conscious that everything we will manifest in the afterlife, and the next reincarnation as well, is the consequence, and the reflection of our current vibration. We must not look for redemption only at the time of our death, or when we are in a hospital bed waiting for it, although better then, than never, I know. It is a lifelong task, of learning and of responsible thinking and decision-making. Who we are now, today, will determine who we will be in the afterlife, where we will go, and into whom we will reincarnate, if at all, depending on our level of consciousness. We must work on our ethics, and on our values as individuals, and as souls. We must become who we ideally want to be, now, not tomorrow, and we must be aware that death can come for us any time. We must be able to look back, and be proud of who we were, when alive. This is why it is so important to learn to let go of things that do not matter, of people and of the memory of bad situations, learn to forgive, especially yourself, and even forgive yourself for your inability to forgive, as it many times may not be possible, as forgiving many times means to override with mind and brain alone difficult emotional triggers and reactions, which are embedded deep inside our unconscious. Forgiving others is also forgiving oneself, as it is we who have become a vibrational match to all situations and people in them, and because they are also us in another stage of our spiritual progression. But, even more important than learning to forgive, is learning to give love freely to those whom we cherish so much in our lives, to our friends and family pets, who are more family. Not expressing and sharing our love creates incalculable hurt and its attachments once in the afterlife. Repressed love is so great it defines us, and will follow us reincarnation after reincarnation, as the Andromedans say, and I find this valid. We must learn to love ourselves as well, with all our defects, or all the ideas we have that make us think we have defects, and not attach ourselves to guilt for things we may have done in the past, while our consciousness and awareness was less expanded and less evolved. Knowing that back then, in the level we were at, and in those particular circumstances, we couldn't have done otherwise, as we always act with the best information we have at our disposal, and it is always limited, so we are destined to make mistakes. As said so many times, we learn more from our mistakes than from our achievements. Again, this old saying reinforces what I said at the beginning of this video, that hardship and suffering cause spiritual advance, and good times do not so much. Stress causes movement, and not a comfortable couch. An old Darwinist example of this is when fish many millions of years ago preferred to be in shallow waters, so shallow they barely covered their body, and where they moved around pushing themselves with the mud at the bottom, with their fins, until those developed into arms and legs. This caused the first fish to start to walk on land, and leave the dangerous waters behind, where they had to lurk in very shallow waters to avoid being eaten by larger fish, who could not enter such shallow waters. Stress causes evolution, but I'd say it causes spiritual evolution more than physical one, although the physical one is a mirror of the spiritual one, of course. You can choose to see life on earth as a prison term, or as a chance to learn and greatly grow spiritually. And with this, you can control who you will become the next time you incarnate. Many people only focus on who they are now, today, and not on whom they will reincarnate into. This is understandable, as many people cannot plan far enough ahead to know what they will have for dinner, and this is clearly part of the great challenges of the Matrix, as it is designed to keep you constantly in survival mode, and not in contemplation, understanding how the universe works and what comes next in your life and beyond. But you must be aware that one day you will die, and you will become the mirror of the vibration you hold today, the result of the average frequency and vibration you had during your entire life. But you must not live and act only for the next incarnation. You must live your present one in full, and that is precisely what will bring you to control, and to be able to tacitly, unconsciously, if you want, plan your future one. Becoming the best version of yourself today, and preparing for who you will be next, will bring incredibly good experiences for you, during your present lifetime, not only in the next. Fix all your affairs today, and in life, and think of what you will leave behind should you be missing tomorrow. Be who you admire the most, with no guilt, today. Thank you for watching my video, and for liking and subscribing. I appreciate it a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love, your friend, Marie Soirou.